Well, it's a joy to be here. I appreciate this privilege once again to be at Taylorsville, and I appreciate the fact it's cool today. And I was in the Caribbean last week in St. Lucia preaching there near the equator, and I finally found a place hotter than Taylorsville, North Carolina. And so I'm glad to be at Taylorsville this week. I appreciate Brother Wager's preaching. I was sitting back there praying that he wouldn't get you too worked up, because that way it won't look bad on me if I don't get you worked up. But as usual, God don't answer my prayers most of the time. But anyway, I appreciate Brother Wager's preaching. I appreciate Brother Steve. What a blessing. Matthew 14. Now I'm going to give you a simple thought and get out of the way today. Matthew 14. I'm going to read just a few verses, and I'll give you the thought. Matthew chapter 14. Amen. Stand with us this morning as we read. Matthew chapter 14, the context of the scripture that I'm reading. Jesus and the disciples have just fed the 5,000. Previous in this chapter, you find that Herod has heard of Jesus, and he says John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. And it goes through the story of the death and the beheading of John the Baptist. But here, I want to start reading in verse number 22. This is after the feeding of the 5,000. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, where they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Father, we thank you for the reading of your word today. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help me now for just a few moments in this place. God, that we might bring the message you've impressed upon our heart for this hour. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here in the context of the scripture, we find the scene. After the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus tells his disciples, he said, "I'm going yonder to a mountain to pray. So won't you get in a ship and go to the other side?" Here they are out there in the midst of the sea, and the Bible describes it like this, that the wind was contrary to them. That word contrary, if you look that up from the root word it comes from, it means that the winds were antagonistic to them. We're living in a day where the winds are contrary to us as well. There's very few days that wind fills our sail. Most of the time it's against us in these days. But here they are. They're still doing what God has told them to do. And you come on down, the Bible said that Jesus went walking unto them on the water. Mark's account of this said Jesus would have passed them by, but they saw him. I'm telling you what, right now, sometimes it's hard for the Lord to hide, ain't it? Amen. I mean, something as big as God, it's hard for him to just walk by and you not sense his presence. But I appreciate it. And here they are. The Bible said they cried out for fear because they perceived it to be a spirit. And the Bible said this, Jesus calmed their fears. He said, "It is I, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And the Bible said, then Peter said this, he said, "Lord, if it be you, bid me come to me on the water." And the Bible said, the Lord said, "Come." And all of a sudden, Peter did something that nobody here has ever been able to do. Peter stepped out of a boat and in the midst of the sea began to do something that you could only do in the supernatural, and that is walk on water. But you see, he's walking at a word from the Lord. I got news for you. The only way you can do stuff that you normally couldn't do is when you have a word from the Lord. And the Bible said that Peter went walking on the water unto Jesus. And the Bible said it like this. Peter's going out through there doing pretty good, I can imagine. All of a sudden, he saw the wind, and I want you to notice the word. The only time this word boisterous is used in the King James Bible is right here. And it's used in the context of Peter himself. In the boat, the wind was contrary to all of them. But now here Peter is out there by himself on the water, and the Word of God uses the word boisterous. And that word boisterous means forcible, powerful. Here Peter is, he's out there, and there are forces that are more powerful than him. And he begins to be afraid. And the Bible said he, beginning to sink, he looked up and he said, "Lord, save me." I began to think about that one night. I was driving back from a revival meeting in Virginia. Had a lot of thoughts running through my mind that night, things about the meeting. And all of a sudden, a random thought. Y'all ever have a random thought? Anybody ever have one of those? I have several of them a day. Amen. But a random thought, a random phrase, I'd heard it used and I thought I knew the implication of it. But the phrase "treading water" came into my mind. And I thought I knew what it meant, but I just got curious about it. And I went and looked up the definition of treading water. And the definition of treading water is, it is the aspect of swimming that involves a person staying in a vertical position while simply keeping their head above the surface of the water. I saw Peter here. He went in just a moment from walking on water to treading water. He went from 1 minute he's walking in a supernatural power, and the next minute he's in a struggle simply to keep his head above water. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but everywhere I go, it seems like I see people are in a struggle in these days. I see churches that are simply trying to keep their head above water. They're in that vertical position. They're not going forward or they're not going backward, but every bit of their energy, every bit of their focus is simply in trying to keep their head above water. I got news for you, every one of us, we're going to find at some point in our time, in our lives, we will find ourselves in the process of simply treading water. But I'm glad there's something that we can learn from God's word when we find ourselves treading water. I wish I could tell you, you're going to leave this meeting and y'all going to walk on water all next week. I mean, everything's going to be well. The wind's going to be in your sail and the adversary won't be anywhere to be found. But I got news for you. Somewhere out there, there's an enemy. Somewhere out there, there's a battle. Somewhere out there's a struggle, and you're going to find yourself treading water. But isn't it good to know that when you're just struggling, trying to keep your head above water, there's a God that knows where you're at. There's a God that cares today. Hallelujah to his name. Oh, when you think about treading water, it's a struggling process. I begin to think about this. There are three things that'll cause you to tread water. Number one, when you get weary and stressed about the service of God that you're in. Here they are, the disciples are out there in the midst of the night. They're out there in the sea and the winds are contrary. But you got to find out where they were before they got out there. They're out there. The Bible said Jesus had withdrew to a desert place. He said, "Boys, let's get away from everything." And all of a sudden, when the people heard where they were at, the Bible said the multitudes came. I got news for you. You can't ever get away from ministry. It'll follow you everywhere you go. You say, "Oh, we're going to get away a little while." I got news for you. It'll follow you. That's why you ought to pray for your preacher. "Oh, but we give him a vacation." That's right. Yeah, but do you take his cell phone away from him when he goes? Ministry follows him everywhere he goes. Amen. I've been on vacation and I've been right in the middle of vacation on the phone trying to solve problems, trying to fix this, trying to arrange that in the midst of vacation. Amen. So ministry don't ever leave you. But here they are. They have been out there and they're trying to get away. Next thing you know, 5,000. Matter of fact, more than that, because the women and children show up and they're hungry. Nothing. And Jesus said, I'll tell you what, do boys, make them sit down and we're going to feed them. Can I say this to you? There's wore out when they hit the boat to head across the sea. It about kills me trying to feed 200 Baptists at a homecoming. I'm talking about, can you imagine waiting tables on 5,000 people? I'm going to tell you something. There's already wore out physically. I've never seen a day more preachers are worn down because of the load that they're carrying. It is very real. I was in St. Lucia last week, and I got news for you. It don't matter where you are. Discouragement's the same whether you're in America or you're in St. Lucia or wherever you might be. There's a real adversary that is battering the church today. There's a real adversary that's trying to discourage God's men, and it doesn't matter where they're at, and all the enemy wants you to do is get to the place you're simply treading water. But I'm glad there's a God that when you get weary in your service and when you get worn down and you feel like you don't have anything left, I'm glad there's a God that's been praying for you. I'm glad he's there in the midst of your darkness. Do you do realize this, that out there Jesus is praying on the mountain, but the disciples cannot see him? But out there on the sea, there was never a time that they were out of his sight. Amen. Jesus didn't have to get the GPS location to find the boat. Amen. He knew exactly where they were at. He knew the winds that were fighting against them. And I'm here to tell you today, there's a God that knows what you're facing today. There's a God that knows what you're battling with. There's a God that knows what you're struggling with. Hallelujah to his name. Oh, when you get weary and you're tired, it's easy to tread water. When you get to wondering and searching for answers in the middle of your storm. Bible said Jesus showed up. They cried out for fear. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. What Jesus say? He said, come. I'm thinking this. If you read this story right here, Peter had just heard Jesus say, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And his next phrase was, Lord, if it be you. The Lord could have said, Peter, ain't my word good enough for you? I just told you it was me. How many times do we get in the storms of life and his word's not good enough for us? How many times do we need something more than his word? And Jesus said, come, Peter. I got news for you right now. There's going to be times when you get to wandering and searching for answers. You see, Jesus is coming to them in a way that he has never come to them before. He's never approached them walking on water. They've never seen him like this. Hey, man, that blows Baptist minds when Jesus shows up in a way that they... I mean, if Jesus shows up and he's out of the little box that they had him in, it really blows the mind of Baptist folk as well, amen. But I got news for you. Jesus don't fit my box and he don't fit yours. I'm glad he can show up any way he wants to show up in the middle of your story. Hallelujah to his name. Oh, yeah, praise God. I thought about that. Here they are, and they're wondering and they're questioning, God, what are you doing? And all of a sudden, here Jesus is. And then I see this. They got to treading water when they got scared out of their wits. The Bible says this. It said that when they saw him, they thought it was a spirit, and they cried out for fear. Now, in East Tennessee mountain vernacular, in the boat, they said, it's a haint. They thought it was a spirit. They thought it's a ghost. Amen. Them mountain people all the time, y'all know what a haint is? Mountain people, they say it's hainted. You know, them old people, that it's a haint. here they are and they don't recognize Jesus, and they said it's a spirit and they're scared to death. And all of a sudden Jesus steps up and says, be of good cheer, it's I, be not afraid. Have you ever been scared about something that came to you? Sometimes when Jesus comes in a way we're not expecting, it scares the life out of us. We like for him to come when the sun's shining. We like for him to show up when the mountaintop experience is ours. We like for him to come when everything is well. But what happens when he comes to us in a doctor's report? What happens to him when he comes to us in a financial setback? What happens when he approaches us in something that we did not anticipate? What happens then? It scares the life out of us. But I'm glad there's a God that's able to calm you when the doctor's report's not good. I'm glad when the bank account's running low, he's a God that'll help you and give you strength and give you courage. Hallelujah to his name. I remember years ago, my family, of course, traveled and sang a lot with me. And my family's all grown up now. My son, Ryan, was about 8 years old. He's 30 years old now, but he was about 8 years old. And Brittany, his older sister, he was a typical little brother. He went through a period of time that all he wanted to do was scare the life out of his sister. I mean, he was on a constant challenge in his life to come up with a new way to scare his sister to death. And it got so bad, he was making her a nervous wreck. I told my wife, I said, I've got to break him from scaring his sister. And I started devising a plan to do that. Back in those days, I had been preaching a message titled, Giving the Devil His Due. And I'd went to one of these places where they Halloween stuff, and they had one of these hideous devil masks, and it was the scariest looking thing you've ever seen in your life. And what I would do, I'd dress a man up in the service with that mask on, with a suit and a Bible under his arm. Now don't look at me like you ain't never seen the devil come to church like that. He don't come in with a red cape and a pitchfork. He comes in most time with a Bible under his arm. Amen. But I was talking about giving the devil his due. He's faithful at what he does. Matter of fact, the devil's always got your preacher on his mind, whether you got your preacher on your mind or not. Amen. But anyway, I had that mask at the house. I told my wife, I said, this is what I'm going to do. I said, you tell Ryan to clean up his room, get his dirty clothes out, bring them downstairs. As he went down the steps to our house, underneath the stairs, there was just an empty space there. And right next to the stairs was the washer and dryer. Just in the dark shadows underneath the steps, I said, I'm going to get under the steps there. And I'm going to put that devil mask on. And I said, you tell Ryan to clean up his room, put his clothes down there. And here come my 8-year-old boy, not happy about cleaning up his room. He's a stomping down the steps, mumbling under his breath. I mean, here I am just standing in the shadows with that hideous devil mask on. He lifted the lid on the washer and he's throwing clothes in there, and he's a mumbling underneath his breath, and all of a sudden he froze. And when he did, he turned his head to the right to where he could see, and there in the shadows was just simply the devil standing there in the quiet darkness. That kid lost his mind. I'm talking about he went to walking backwards, and I really believe he spoke in tongues. I really do. I'll be honest with you. I think he said a few things that wasn't lawful for an 8-year-old to say. I mean, he was so scared. I'm talking about the kid is losing it. And it was so bad, it scared me. I said, oh, Lord, I'm going to give my boy a heart attack. I was really scared. I said, Lord, how am I going to explain this to the police? I don't know, officer, what happened to him. His mother told him to clean his room, and the next thing we knew, he had a heart attack in front of the washing machine. I mean, now all these thoughts are going through my mind, and he's in a panic. And all of a sudden, I just grabbed the mask, and I pulled it off, and I said, Ryan, it's me, it's me, it's me, it's your dad. I thought about those disciples out there in the boat scared to death,
scared to death. They don't know. They said, it's a ghost. It's a haint. It's a spirit. All of a sudden, Jesus said, hey, boys, it's me. You've just never seen me like this before. It's me. Hallelujah. I know where you're at. I know what you're going through. I want to help you. Hallelujah to his name. Oh, you say, preacher, what is it about treading water? And I'm going to give you this, and I'm done. There's three things that happened to Peter in this story that didn't happen to the other disciples. Number one, Peter experienced the touch of the Lord. Them boys in the boat never got touched. Peter's out there, and he's struggling. You say, but yeah, he's struggling. He's sinking. Yeah, he was. But the Lord said, you know, oh, you have little faith. Sometimes I feel like my faith's little. Do you ever feel like yours like that? But I'm glad the Lord gave us a verse. He said, if you got the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, he said, you can say that mountain be thou removed. I'm glad the Lord didn't look down on us little faith people. But he said, if you got a little, boys, you can still see God do great things. Amen. But here Peter is. He said, Lord, save me. And the big hand of Jesus reached down, and Peter felt a touch that the disciples in the boat did not feel. Hallelujah. Every now and then when I get to treading water and I feel like I'm going under for the last time, I'm glad that I can feel his touch. Amen. I'm glad there's a God that will touch us. Hallelujah to his name. Peter not only felt a touch, but he got a talk from the Lord. What do you mean by that, preacher? He talked to all of them. Yeah, he said, it is I, be not afraid. But I want you to notice this. Peter's out there a good ways from the boat now. The wind is howling. Yeah. Them boys in the boat can see what's going on, but I little doubt they could hear the conversation. And when Jesus pulled Peter up, he said, oh, thou little faith. Wherefore didst thou doubt? You see, Peter got a private talk from the Lord in the midst of his struggle. This is what I noticed about this. Sometimes your troubles has to take you away from the clamor of the brethren. I love the brethren. I encourage the brethren. But boy, sometimes God has to draw you just a little bit away to himself so he can talk to you. Let you know he wants to help you, praise God. I've been in a few places and I've heard preachers preaching. I left more confused than when I got there. I was in a meeting one day. Funny stuff happens in camp meetings. It does. It's not all bad. Sometimes it's funny. I was in a camp meeting one. This fellow was a preaching and he was, I guess, trying to display how patriotic he was. And I'm patriotic myself. He had on American flag socks and he had on American flag tie and, you know, and praise God if you got one of them on, hallelujah. But this fellow was preaching about how patriotic he was, and he made this statement. He said, praise God, I'm as American as God is. And I had to stop and trying to figure out when God became an American. I know he didn't mean that the way it sounded, but sometimes you have to, the clamor. But here he is, and he's got out of the boat. He's out there. I'm glad the Lord can speak through the brethren. I'm glad God speaks to us in meetings just like this. But boy, I'm glad there's a God. He don't stop talking when you go back to the house. I'm glad he helps you. Amen. He touched. He got a touch. He got a talk. And then the Lord taught him something. What did he teach him, preacher? I want you to notice in your Bible, the Bible said the winds are boisterous, contrary. Right there when Jesus pulled Peter up in the water, Jesus could have spoke and calmed the storm right there. He could have said, peace be still. The Bible said they got back to the boat. It don't tell us how they got back to the boat. But this is what in my mind's eye I can see happening. You see, the Bible said the wind didn't cease until they got to the boat. Jesus let the wind continue to blow until they got back to the boat. Why didn't he stop it there? I'll tell you why. Because I feel like this is what he said to Peter. He said, all right now, Peter, I've touched you. I've talked to you. Now take my hand. I'm going to show you how to walk in a storm. There's been a lot of days that I've been in the storm and I felt like my head was going under for the last time. And all of a sudden I'd hear him say, if you'll take my hand, I'm going to show you how to walk in the middle of a storm. Amen. I'm glad, praise God, he'll do it for you. He'll help you today when you find yourself treading water. I'm glad there's a God that'll help you. Father, thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for how you've helped us. I pray, God, you'd take this message now to the hearts of this people. Use it for your honor and glory. And God, we'll give you praise for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Preacher, you come.